We have Tisha B'Av coming up around the corner, and of course we're in the 9 days. I thought it would be appropriate to speak about how we should experience Tisha B'Av, and perhaps a few words about Churban HaBayis and what it means to us. Chazal say that Kol HaMisabel Al Yerushalayim Zoche V'roe B'binyana, and it seems that inherent in the experience of Avelus, of a Churban, we get connected to redemption, to Shechina. And I thought that perhaps the reason for this is that in order to appreciate the Churban, you first have to have a picture of what the bias is about. We don't evaluate something when we lose it unless we can evaluate it as it was when it existed, when it was in its magic glory, majestic glory. The Beis HaMikdash was the focal point of the Jewish people. Not just three times a year for the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, when all Jews united to come to Yerushalayim, but even during the rest of the year. The Gemara says that Yerushalayim, which is the periphery and the expansion of the Kedushas Mikdash, is Ke'ir Shechubra LaYachtov. Imeshkachech Yerushalayim Tishkach Yimini, because Yerushalayim represents Tzion. Tzion is Miloshon Tziyun. Tziyun is a marker. For example, if you don't want the Kohanim to go in a certain place because there are corpses that are buried there, then you put up what's called a Tziyun Kever to distinguish this place, this area, from another area. Chazal say about Golos Mitzrayim, Melamed Shahoyu Yisrael Mitzuyonim Sham. Again, the Lashon Tziyun. Tziyun or Tzion means that which represents the essence of something, that separates it from everything around it. So Tzion represents Yerushalayim. It represents that which differentiates our people from the other peoples. We were chosen. What does it mean? Ata v'chartonu mikol ha'amim. The Lashon of Bechira always indicates a certain special love relationship. The Gemara has a principle, mitzvah bo Yosef b'shlucho. And where does that principle express itself? Where does it find itself? Where's the address for it in Shas? Anybody know in which mitzvah? Just the opposite.
Kedushin.
And it makes sense to me that mitzvah bo Yosef b'shlucho should apply to Kedushin. Because what greater experience of a bond between two people could be than Kedushin? So to send a shliach to Mekadosh an Isha, or if she sends a shliach to be Mekabel Kedushin, yeah, it works, it's effective, it's a kinyan, but it's secondary. We're talking about a bechira relationship. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed to Moshe's request to send scouts to see Eretz Yisrael, it was because the settling of the land of Israel was a bechira relationship in which this land was being chosen, this people was being chosen, and the connection between the two, the bond between the two. For such a marriage relationship to exist, we need to personally see the Kala, not to send a shliach to meet the Kala. Asa liyodam lekadesh isha ad shiyirena. Re'iyah sometimes means more than just a casual glance. Re'iyah sometimes means understanding. To see and to understand what's special about this young lady. Why do I want to embark on a commitment for all of life? That's a bechira relationship. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Avram Avinu, it says, Ani Hashem Asher Otzi Sicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Me'eretz Me'ur Kazdin, excuse me. So just like it says, Ani Hashem Asher Otzi Sicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, and Chazal say, Ani V'lo Shaliach, Ani V'lo Malach, Ani V'lo Acher, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the Jewish people personally, V'chvodo V'atzmo Adam Mitzrayim. So too, it says by Avram Avinu, Ani Hashem Asher Otzi Sicha Me'ur Kazdin. when Avram Avinu was thrown into the fires of Kazdin, the Malachi Ashares came in front of the Kisei HaKavod, one by one, single file. And each one offered his services to cool off the fire. And usually, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world operates through the medium of different malachim. These are the Shluchei HaKel, Harbei Shluchim Lamokom. But the Chazal say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejected the candidacy of each and every malach. And why? Because Avram Avinu was thrust into the fires of Kazdan al-Shmi for the sake of God's name. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you malachim have nothing to do over here. You're irrelevant. You're third parties. If Avram Avinu went into the fires of Kazdan l'Shmi, al-Yichud Shmi, I personally, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will go down to cool the flames. Ani v'lo malach. Ani Hashem ha-shotzi sicha mir Kazdin. I personally took you out of the fires of Kazdin. And why? Because that moment was a moment of bechira, of choice. Avram Avinu was chosen as the father of the Ummah of this nation and the Jewish people. And so whenever there's a bechira, whether it be of the Yochid in the case of Avram for the future nation of Klal Yisrael, or leaving Mitzrayim in the case of the Tzibur, the nation of Klal Yisrael, that bechira, ata v'chartonu mikol ha'amim, has to be done b'chvodo v'atzmo, lo yidei shliach, lo yidei malach. On Tisha B'Av, we experience something very paradoxical. On the one hand, if I had to capture the essence of Tisha B'Av and what it's all about, the tragedies of all the millennium of Jewish experience on a collective level, it's a two-word answer. What is Tisha B'Av about? Siluk Shechina. God, Kaviyachal, removes his close relationship with Knesset Yisrael. And if that be the case, then we're left, so to speak, to the dogs, to those beasts who try to attack us and destroy us. But paradoxically, on this day of Tisha B'Av, when we commemorate Siluk Shechina, we can only appreciate the loss of Shechina if we focus on the experience of Ata v'chartonu mikol ha'amin, that you have chosen us from amongst the nations of the world. And so that Bechira, which is a personal involvement between the Shechina and Knesset Yisrael, lo al yedei malach, lo al yedei shaliach, that's a central idea, a motif which takes us from the beginning of Tisha B'Av to the end. What makes a moed into a moed? We have three moedim, the three regolim. So Reb Tzadok HaKohen is famous for saying that the word moed is miloshen vad. The base Hamikdash is called the base havad. A vad is a get-together. Now I have a better word for you. A vad is a rendezvous between two lovers. It's a secret place. Very intimate, where he and she get together. Shir HaShirim is a metaphor for that relationship between the Dod, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Kal of the Beloved, Rayosi, Tamosi, Samosi, Knesset Yisrael. That relationship, when it's molded together, when it's cemented as a Kiddusha, it requires a base vad, a chamber for the intimate Yichud Kaviyochel between Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where does that Yichud take place? Where are those inner chambers? The privacy of the two babes that are locked hand in hand in an embrace. That's the Kodesh Kadoshim. That's the Holy of Holies. Yushalayim Ki'ir Shechubra Yachtov is just an expansion of that sanctity, of that close relationship, that intimacy, that Yichud in the chambers of the Kodesh Kadoshim. And that Kiddusha, that sanctity, that intensity of a relationship of Atav HaKartanu filters out through the various parts of the Beis HaMikdash until it encompasses all of Yerushalayim. Why is it that Maaser Sheni could only be eaten within the walls of Yerushalayim? Because Yerushalayim has the Kiddushas Mokom. The Rambam Paskins, at the end of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, that Kiddushas Mikdash, even Kiddusha Rishona, is Kidsha L'Shaita V'Kidsha L'Asid Lovel. That the sanctity of the Mikdash, even if destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, by the enemies of the Jews, is an eternal sanctity. Eretz Yisrael, at least for as far as Kedusha Rishon is concerned, is once our kibush was gone, was undermined, when the enemies came in and destroyed us and sent us into exile, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael was gone, was null and void, but not the Kedusha of Yerushalayim. Says the Rambam, why? Shashchina ain't a betel liolam, says the Rambam. The Kedushas Migdash is the intense Kedusha of Shechina, and that Shechina is never bottom. No one could uproot it. Even when Rabbi Akiva sees the Shua leaving the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he says that the Klola is the flip side of the Bracha, and vice versa. When we experience Tisha B'Av, the Pasuk says in Eicha, Kara Alai Moed. How could the word Moed, which Rabbi Tzadok HaKohen says is Miloshim Beis Vad, Miloshon Shechina in its intimate relationship with Klal Yisrael, how could that same term be used by Yirmiyahu HaNavi to describe Tisha B'Av? And we know that halachically this takes form in terms of dropping Tachnun, in terms of the pasuk in Zechariah HaNavi that these days will eventually be days of Simcha. But what does it mean to me now, as I approach Tisha B'Av? How could I call this day a day of Moed, when on the contrary, just the opposite, it's a day of Siluk Shechina? And I think the answer is because in order to experience the Avelus of Tisha B'Av, which is the distance between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Shechina, we have to first jump in to the Vad, to that experience of intimacy. We have to re-experience, we have to reminisce and put ourselves back into the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, Kol HaMisa'avel Al Yerushalayim Zocha V'Ro B'Vinyon. He who has a true experience of Avelus, it's simply a result of the fact that he appreciates, that he experienced that which we call Shechina, that which we call Beis HaMikdash, that experience of a Moed, of a Beis Vad. We know that the first Mikdash was full of miracles. The Gemara tells us at the end of the first parak of Yuma that there were five miracles that transpired daily in the Beis HaMikdash. The greatest of which is that the fires came down from Shemayim to consume the Karbonos. But those miracles were gone in the second Mikdash. The Mikdash Sheni didn't have an Aron. It didn't have all the Nisim V'Niflos. In fact, the menorah in the second Beis HaMikdash, anybody know what it was made of? It wasn't made of Zahav, it was made of what? Of wood. It was a wooden menorah, my friends. Bayis Sheni was a, how should I say, a poor reflection of Bayis Rishon. If Bayis Rishon represent the most sophisticated, beautiful, stunning structure within and without, then Bayis Sheni paled in comparison to Bayis Rishon. And yet I have a question for you. It's a trick question. Let's see if you fall into my trap. Which sanctity was greater? That of Bayis Rishon or that of Bayis Sheni? Well, from the fact that I asked you, obviously, it's not the wrong answer that I'm looking for, but the right answer, namely, Bayis Sheni. Bayis Sheni was greater than Bayis Rishon. Chagai HaNovi at the end of Tanakh says, Godol HaAchro Min HaRishon. Rashi says a pshat there that the second Mikdash stood for 520 years, the first for only 510 years. But my Rebbe said in the name of Reb Chaim that that's not the true pshat in the pasuk. Rashi is correct on one level, pshat level, but if you dig deeper below the surface, what you can reveal is an unbelievable yesod ha-yesodos. Godol Achrim in Arishon is because, as the pasuk says in Zechariah Novi, Lo b'koach v'lo b'chayil kim biruchi omar Hashem tzvakos. You know, Zechariah was the Novi who foretold the building of Bayis Sheni. And Reb Chaim used to say that Bayis Shlishi is not a third bias at all. It's the extension of Bayis Sheni. Bayis Sheni is temporarily missing. The Rambam paskins Kedusha Shnia Kidshol L'Shaita V'Kidshol Asid Lo. So the sanctity of Bayis Sheni is there. We can't touch it, we can't feel it. But it's inherent in the Makom. When Rabbi Akiva says that now I know that the prophecy of Uriah is going to be fulfilled, Oz Yeshvu Zekedim Uzkenos, when the simcha of Yerushalayim will be like the simcha of a chasam v'kala, because the simcha of a wedding is always pictured, always projected as the greatest, most intense simcha that we have. We know it from the fact that whenever there's churban, we know this kedusha. Inherent in the churban is the experience of sanctity, the rebuilding, the redemption. What I'd like to do with you tonight is to study the laws of Avelus. Avelus is a mitzvah. Avelus is a mitzvah? How can you say such a thing, Rabbi? That's incorrect. The Rambam in Perek Hei Milchus Avelus lists 11 Isurei Avel. It's just a series of prohibitions. How could it be a mitzvah? But yet, if you take a look at the first source on your page, the Gemara says in Moed Katan that if there's a conflict between Regel and Avelus, then which comes first? So the Gemara weighs two mitzvahs. There's an Asei D'Rabim and an Asei D'Yachid. Regel, V'samachta B'Chagecha, is an Asei D'Rabim. Avelus, on the other hand, is only an Asei D'Yachid. It's a private Asei. But the very fact that the Gemara calls it an Asei would indicate that it's a positive command. The Rambam, if you take a look at your third source, says, Hilchas Avelus, Yesh Bechal and Arba Mitzvahs, Vizuhi Pratan. And the first of the four lists Abel Al Krovim. The Rambam lists Avelus as a mitzvah Asei. How can Avelus be a mitzvah Asei? I don't understand. What's an Avel required to do? He's not allowed to wear shoes. He can't wash himself. He can't study Torah. He's enjoined from Nilas HaSandal, from Tashmish HaMitah. But what positive command is imposed upon an Avil? How do you call it a mitzvah saseh? And question number two, how does that mitzvah saseh conflict with Simchas Yontif? Ain't Simcha ele v'basar v'yayin. You have to eat meat and drink wine. Question for you. Again, don't fall into my trap. Is an ovil enjoined from eating meat? Absolutely not. The first suda, suda savra, is a meat meal. Is an ovil enjoined from drinking wine? Do we have any Yemenites here in the room? Not one. Not one good old Taimani, huh? The Yemenites have a whole sequence of cups of wine that they drink during the 7 days of Avelus. It keeps building up. Pays to be a Yemenite if you like wine. If you have to go through Avelus, I went through it three times. So I don't understand. The Gemara posits a conflict between Avelus and Simchas HaRegel. Where's the conflict? I can be Mekayim all the dinim of Avelus meticulously, all the 11 Isurei Avel, and I can fulfill the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. I'll eat meat and drink wine. No problem. Alright, I'll have to wear sneakers. I've seen people wear sneakers on Yontif. There's no Issur. Who state shall erup? You have to wear, you know, a sandalim, you know, of leather on Yontif. Crazy. So I believe that the answer to this question is hinted at, intimated, in the Ritva. In the Ritva, in Masechet Avodah Zarah, in the sugi that we refer to. But first I have to introduce the Ritva by asking a question. Is there anyone in this room who knows what a menuda is, what nidui is? Have you ever heard of it, if you learnt by cotton?
It's a cherem, right?
It's like a cherem. It's like a cherem. There's certain averis for which, if you scoff at Talmidei Chachamim and other averis of that sort, for which they put you into nidui. Now, the menuda has to observe Hilchas Nidui, and everyone else has to keep away from the menuda. Four amos and all the dinim, you're not allowed to business dealings, and fine. But what's incumbent on the menuda? How does the menuda experience his state of Nidui? And the answer is in one word, Avelus. Basically, he has to observe the laws of Avelus, just like an Avel does, Rachmana Litzlan, if he loses a close relative. So the Gemara Ma'ikot raises the following question. What does a person in Nidui do on Yontif? The Torah says, V'samachta b'chagecha, but as a menuda, he's obligated to be noheg nidui, meaning avelus. Comes along the Ritva, he says, I don't understand the Gemara's question. The Gemara, by the way, vacillates back and forth on this question. Mahu leminuda linog niduya beregel. Same Gemara and Daf Yudah. Says the Ritva, I don't understand. Nidui is a drabona. The whole institution of nidui is drabona. Again, there's a tashbeitz, which is not for now. That's a PR for my Monday night Hilchas Talmud Torah class, because the Rambam dedicates an entire chapter in Hilchas Talmud Torah to the laws of nidui. The tashbeitz holds that menuda is doraisa. But all the Rishonim assume that nidui is drabona. So the Ritva says, what was the havamina of the Gemara that nidui could undermine a mitzvah doraisa of Simchas Yontif? Forget about Yochid, forget about Rabbim, leave that all out. But that a mitzvah d'rabbanan could override a mitzvah d'oraisa, it's impossible. So the Ritva says something else. Says the Ritva, you'll see it's the number vav on your page. The Yesh Lomar on the third line, I would encourage you to underline this if you want to borrow my pen. The Yesh Lomar d'midoraisa kevon shesomach ba'achilas basar v'chayotze bazeh. He says a menuda is allowed to what? To observe nidui and at the same time eat steaks. Ein haregel mischalil. V'karinen beivis amachli v'chagecha. Hilcha chafilu ki havi mirabonon ika lemeimar dinoigle. The Gemara has a tzad to say that in menuda can be knowing his nidui because he's going to eat meat anyway. And therefore he'll never desecrate kedushas haregel or the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. It's not great, but I don't understand something. If the Ritva is correct, that there's no conflict, there's no contradiction between menuda being noeg nihuge avel and simchas yontif because the menuda is allowed to eat meat, then Ribbono Shalom, why does Gemara think that we have to knock off avelus when avelus clashes with simchas yontif? The avel is allowed to eat meat just like the menuda is allowed to eat meat. You hear it? So the answer I heard from the Rav, and he published it in different places at different times, but it is so, so fundamental. It gives you a derech halimut. The Rav said the following. Most mitzvahs, but not all, postulate an equation between the maisa mitzvah and the kiyuma mitzvah. But there are a few select mitzvahs where the maisa mitzvah does not generate the kiyuma mitzvah. But rather there's a step in between. The kiyuma mitzvah, the essence, the fulfillment of the mitzvah depends not on the external action, but on your emotional state of being. The Rav called it a kiyum shebelev. It's one of the few places that I know of that the Rav broke new ground. This is not based on Reb Chaim. It's not based on the Beis HaLevi. This is the Rav's trailblazer. A kiyum shebelev. Said the Rav, the steer of the conflict, the contradiction between Avelus and Simchas Yontif is not in the external actions. Enochinami, you could abstain from washing on Yontif and it won't undermine Yontif, and you could eat meat on during Avelus and it won't undermine Avelus. There's no steer in the Pu'ulachitzonit. Where is the conflict, the contradiction? In the Kiyum Shebelev. The Kiyum Shebelev, the inner experience which represents the essence of Simchas Yontif, and the Kiyum Shebelev which represents the essence of Avelus, those two mitzvahs are mutually exclusive. They cannot coexist in the same person at the same time. It's either or. And therefore, said the Rav, the Gemara had a problem. You've got a conflict between Avelus and Simcha. Which is superior to the other? If this be the case, my friends, then I understand the Ritva. The Ritva is telling us that a menuda has to experience, has to behave in externally like an avil. He has to be noeg nihuge avilus. And he's surei avil. But what is he lacking? Don't all answer at once.
The emotion.
The kiyum shebelev. I'm trying to train you into the language. The kiyum shebelev. He doesn't have the kiyum shebelev. No one expects the menuda to be an oven. When the Rambam says, let's go full swing back to the Rambam, that mitzvah saseh lehis avel, that mitzvah saseh is not measured by the yud alef yisurei avel. Those would be an iser, not an aseh. what prompts the Rambam to classify Avelus as a positive command? The Kiyum Shebelev. It's not a physical Kiyum in the sense of get up and do something, but rather it's an emotional inner state. I would say that Simchas HaRegel expresses itself in feeling close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rachman Litzan and Ovil feels meruchak, he feels distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those two cannot coexist. In number Dalid, I typed up the Chiddush from the Rav. If you have a chance to go through it on your own. If there are any mistakes, it's just my typing, because I don't know how to cut and paste something from Hadarom, which I have at home. But it's a beautiful yesod, because it shows you a methodology of learning. I once applied this methodology in a different Gemara, but I thought the Rav would smile. The Gemara wants to know if you have one candle, whether you should use on Shabbos of Hanukkah, should you dedicate it for the mitzvah of Hanukkah or the mitzvah of Shabbos? So I asked the question, what's the premise of the Gemara's question? Why can't I use one candle for both mitzvahs? What's the problem of Ain't Osim Mitzvahs Chavilus Chavilus? I'll prove to you that Ain't Osim Mitzvahs Chavilus Chavilus has nothing to do with this. But the answer is that Ner Hanukkah and Ner Shabbos are mutually exclusive, because the kiyumim are antithetical one to the other. The kiyum of Ner Shabbos is the benefit, the hanah that you get from the Ner. The kiyum of Ner Chanukah is, on the contrary, the isur, that this is dedicated as a Ner Shel Mitzvah. Do you follow what I'm saying? But it's the same methodology that sometimes the Gemara postulates a conflict, and you have to rack your brains to understand the underlying assumption of the Gemara. Anyway, getting back to this. So Rabosa, let me ask you a question. If the Rav is correct, if a person were to eat meat and drink wine on Yontif, but Rachman Litzlan, he's depressed, would he fulfill the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif? No. Because the external action is just simply a method, it's a means, a vehicle to bring you into a state of a Kiyum Shebelev of Simcha. If an Avel would observe to the T all 11 Isuri Avelus, mamish, you can learn Hilchos Avel by watching. But inside, he's in a great mood. All right, I don't want to go into this, but you know, you'll use your imagination. I better unsay. He's happy inside for whatever reason, right? Would you say he was Makayim in the midst of Avelus? Absolutely not. Because all the Isuri Avel observed only as an instrument to bring you to the state of Kiyum Shebelev.
What you said a couple of weeks ago with the purpose of the mitzvah has to have a thing within itself. It's not just bringing that to be sad.
So again, if you're talking about 99% of the mitzvahs, you're 100% correct. The Kiyum Shebelev is just an embellishment. But there are two mitzvahs, and the Rav added over time others, but there are two mitzvahs that we're focusing on now, tonight, that are the Kiyum Shebelev is the mitzvah. That's what the Torah is commanding you. What the halacha does is it creates a sophisticated framework, a structure of actions that are meant to put you into the right mood, to the ambiance, to achieve the Kiyum Shebelev. But lacking the Kiyum Shebelev, you have no mitzvah. But I have a problem. In fact, I have four problems. They're all the same, but four different problems. According to the Rav, the Maskanas HaSugyas we saw, the mitzvah derabim of Simchas Yontif overrides Avelus. Could there be, would there be, any Avelus whatsoever during the Regel, according to the Rav? There can't be. Because if the mitzvah of Simcha overrides the mitzvah of Avelus, then Avelus would be meaningless. It would be antithetical to Simcha. It has to be thrown out with the bath water. But I'll prove to you that's not so. Take a look at the Ramban in Torah Adam. It's a long Ramban. I only wrote the essence of it, number Yud Aleph. Says the Ramban, Avelus no heges beregel bidvarm shebitzina. It's based on a Tosefta, which you'll see in number Yud. Avel eno rashoy lis avel b'toch ha-moed, avel noeg b'tzina b'toch beso. So nihuge avel, for example, Isa Tashmash Amito would be noeg during the regel. If you take a look at Shulchan Aruch, by the way, He paskins like the Ramban. He says, Uliacha Shenikvar, he's talking about a person who buried his dead on Chol HaMoed. After Kfur, he says, Noeg Dvarim Shebitzino. And he has the same thing in Hilchas Chol HaMoed. So I don't get it, according to the Rav, that the Nihuge Avelus, the Suri Avelus, exhaust themselves in the Kiyum Shebelev, and that's the total essence, the be-all and the end-all of the Suri Avelus. And if we add to that the premise that Simchas HaRegel undermines and excludes the possibility of the Kiyum Shebelev, that means there cannot be any Avelus on the Regel, because my mitzvah is Simchas Shebelev. So how could I have the Yisur Dvarm Shevitzina? Bishlema, we said in the Ritva with regard to Menudah could be knowing his Nihuge Avelus on the regal because he doesn't have an obligation of Kiyum Shevalev. See, he has Maisa Yisurim, which are purely external, and that's fine. But when the Avelus is totally geared and structured and designed to bring you into the Kiyum Shevalev, and that Kiyum Shevalev is bumped off, is excluded by the Kiyum Shebelev of Simchas HaRegel, what sense does it make to grab on, to hold on to any Yisuri Avil during Regel? In fact, and this would dafka support the Rav, the days of Regel are not Ol Minyan Shiva. So again, if you would tell me that there was Dvarim Shebitzin on Shabbos, that I have no qualms about that. Why? Because on Shabbos, you would say there's no mitzvah of Simcha. We want to do away with Avelus Befar Hesia, but we'll maintain Avelus Bitsin and Shabbos is Ol Minyan Shiva. But in the case of Regel, which completely undermines Avelus, how could there be Dvar Shebitzino during the Regel? Now, is there anyone here in the room who's bold enough to admit, before I chop his head off, no, I'm just kidding, that he wears tefillin on Chol HaMoed? Not one person? Oh, just one? Two. Oh, we got two people who wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Good. They allow you to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed here? I was in a shul on Chol HaMoed Pesach in North Miami Beach. They have a takana, you can't be the shliach tzibur during Chol HaMoed unless you're wearing tefillin. Wow. Half the people don't wear tefillin, but the takanas, I was not wearing tefillin, I couldn't be the shliach tzibur, not that I wanted to, but it's just unbelievable. But listen, guys, don't ever try to pull that off in Eretz Yisroel. I mean, you'll be hanging from the rafters. That I can tell you. There's no minig of at all of wearing tefillin Chol HaMoed. So let me ask you a question. If Regel overrides Avelus, or coincides, that's the word I want to use, coincides with Avelus, what would you do on Chol HaMoed? Would you wear tefillin? Now, the law is that an Avel, the first day, doesn't wear tefillin. Some Rishonim hold even after Kfura. Others say after Kfura he can put on tefillin, the different minhagim. But let's just go with the simple minhag that you don't wear tefillin on the first day of Avelus. So an Avel comes back from the Beis HaKvaris and it's Regel. What would you say? Should he wear tefillin or not if his minhag is to wear tefillin during the Regel?
One second, he can't come back. They can't bury him on the first day.
No, I'm talking on Chol HaMoed. I'm sorry. When I say Regel, I meant Chol HaMoed. So it's Chol HaMoed, you just came back from the cemetery, Rahmanu Litzlan, should you put on tefillin or not? Your minhag is to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed.
Stay at home.
At home.
Tefarim Shebitzino.
Tefarim Shebitzino. Again, so again you're back to the Ramban. I would have said that the whole purpose of not wearing tefillin is to achieve a Simcha Shebelev. But in this case, right, it's to achieve Avel Shevalev, but in this case, where it's Regel and your mitzvah is what? Is Simcha Shevalev, then you should wear tefillin. So take a look, it's the Machlokas HaPoskim, but the Shvus Yankiv, of Yankiv Risher, who lived about 3 centuries ago, he's Mamish for the Gedolim, he wrote many, many Sfarim, he's quoted in the Shari Tshuva Nabi Yudalit, that says, Ein Meiniach Tefillin B'Yom Rishon, that the Iser of Hanochas Tefillin, that applies to an Avel, is Nayeg on the first day of Avelus during the Regel. Again, Avelus is a funny term because there is no Avelus on the Regel. But as you said, Natanel, it's like Dvarim Shebitzino. So here's another cash on the road. Again, I'm abstaining from Dvarim Shebitzino on Yontif, meaning on the Regel. And why? Because there's some vestige to Avelus, and yet my mitzvah is Simcha Shebelev. I'm abstaining from Tefillin even though normally I would put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed, and why am I doing so? Because of Avelus, Ribono Shalom. What is there to Avelus if my mitzvah today is Simcha? Then I have another question for you. Take a look at Novi Tesva. Amongst the 11 Isuri Avel, as we all know, one of them is Talmud Torah. So the Braisa in Masechta Moed Katan Chaf Aleph says the following: Also likros b'Torah b'Neviim b'Ksuv b'Mishnas b'Mishnah b'Midrash b'Halachos b'Talmud. Going on to page 2, Vagotas. Question for you, but be honest with me: if you saw this Braisa and no other source, is there any Talmud Torah that you'd be allowed to study during Avelus? They say the Rugged Shavu gave shiurim during his Avelus. He said he was pikuach nefesh. He couldn't kenished eishalm. He couldn't hold himself back from learning Torah. You know, so that's the Rugged Shavu on his level. But for most of us, you know, we can observe one experience of Isur Talmud Torah. We can go. Something tells me we can survive without Talmud Torah. Unfortunately, right? But what is there any Torah we're allowed to study during Avelus?
Echa.
Yeah, what about Echa? What about Kinnis? Dvarm Sharam Shabbi Yirmi? What about the, you know, Chvesvus, Kamsa Vakamsa Gim? I don't know, whatever your favorite Dvarm Haroim are, you know. But if you look at the Shulchan, if you look at the Braisa, which is the original source, the Braisa doesn't make any qualification whatsoever. And where do we know, from whence do we derive the Isur of Talmud Torah? So I thought, if you'd have woke me up in the middle of the night, how do we know the novel is also in these, enjoying from studying Torah? Pekudei Hashem Yesharim. Misam Chelev. What's Misam Chelev? Simcha. Well, Simcha is antithetical to Avelus. No, the Gemara quotes a different source. Hanigdom. This is a parasha of Yechezkel, and so forth and so on. So take a look at the Rambam. In Hilchas Avil, this is number Yud Ches on your page. What time is Mincha? I just want to time myself.
50.
So we have 20 minutes? Okay. So the Rambam says in Hilchas Avil, this is number Yud Ches on your page. Asur likros v'torah b'neviim k'suvim l'shanas b'mishnah b'medrash v'alochas. The only heta the Rambam offers for teaching Torah, or learning Torah, during Avelus, is imhayu rabim tzrichim lo. Again, I wouldn't call that, you know, the Rogatchev's heta, but if, let's say, you had to give a shiur to the entire public, and without you, they couldn't survive it. There's no one to replace you. The Rambam has a map. But the Rambam doesn't seem to qualify it. He follows in the footsteps of the Gemara, the Bryson Moed Katan, and seemingly has an all-encompassing, unqualified Isur of Talmud Torah during Avelus. But why? Again, if I go with the Rav's Yisot, that all Isurei Avil are designed to guarantee, to facilitate the Kiyum Shebelev of Avelus, so why can't an Avil study at least those parts of Torah that are not antithetical to Avelus? On the contrary, maybe they enhance your sense of Avelus. That's question number 3. And finally, question number 4 is the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. The Ramah quotes it as a Yesh Omrim in Shulchan Aruch. Rabbi Yossi says that an Avil is enjoined from Erusin. Now, normally we know that an Avil is enjoined from Nisuin, because there are two parts of marriage, right? Let's just go over this quickly. One part is a pure Kinyan. It has no Simcha related to it. That's a Maisa Kinyan, that's called Erusin. There's another part which is Simchadik. It triggers off a full experience of a year's worth of Simcha. Starts with a week, then goes to a month, and then an entire year. Right? We say the bracha of what's it called in for the whole year? Asimcha b'mono, correct? A whole year. So if you were to ask me, an avil is enjoined from nisuin, that I understand. Because simchas nisuin is antithetical to the kiyum shebelev avelus. That's beautiful. Rabbi Yossi takes it a step further. And he prohibits erusin during avelus. Why? Erusin is not antithetical to avelus shebelev. Erusin entails no simcha whatsoever. We have no simcha, no suda, no shivasi mea mishta, nothing. It's just a maisa kinyan. It's a legal act. It's like signing a shtar. What's that?
still in her father's home.
She lives in her father's home. They don't live together. There's no vayu l'basar echad, nothing. So the Chachamim, I understand, they reject Rav Yosi. The Ramah quotes this in Shulchan Aruch. Yesh omrim degam laros, even erison is also. He says kol shloshim yom, that has to be understood under itself, unto itself. So let's just go over four questions. Number one, if Isurei Avel, as the Rav says, is the Kiyum Shebelev, how could there be Isurei Avel during the Regel? Question number one, how could there be an Isur of Dvarim Shebitzina, which B'Torah Avelus during the Regel? Number two, how could there be an Isur Anochas Tefillin in the first day of Avelus if it's Regel? Here he's obligated in the midst of Simcha, not in Avelus. Number three, why is it that the Isur Talmud Torah is all-inclusive? That means even Dvar Shebaroyim are enjoined or prohibited? And finally, number four, why is Erisin prohibited according to Rabbi Yossi? So I think, and I just hope and pray the Rav is smiling, that there are two dimensions to Avelus. Just like we saw in Nidui, that you could have Nihuge Avelus, Isurei Avelus, without a Kiyum Shebalev, there are certain Isurei Avel which have perhaps a double component to them. Number one, they entail some element of simcha, but that alone might not tip the scale and prohibit them. But number two, they are isurei avel that are independent of the kiyum shebelev. The very fact that you buried the dead, one of your Zion krovim, that itself makes you into an avel. And there are certain actions which are, how shall I say, anti-magnetic forces, meaning the opposite of a magnet, they're repulsive, they're mutually exclusive during Avelus. Let's take the easy case. Talmud Torah. An Avel is enjoined from Talmud Torah. Lo mi boy, I don't have to tell you because he gets Simcha from Talmud Torah. Mesamche Lev. But even if he doesn't derive any Simcha from Talmud Torah, Avelus, the shame Avel, and the experience of learning Torah is mutually exclusive. What shall I say? There's something about Torah that is repelled by the Avel, by the fact that he's an Avel, even if he has no Kiyum Shebelev. Number two, Tefillin. The Torah says that Tefillin is called Pe'er, and the Avel is Mu'ul Biafar, he's in a different state. For the Avel to wear Tefillin is antithetical to the tefillin on Yom Rishon, because the pasuk says Achrisa ki Yom Mar. Is therefore, even if wearing tefillin will not trigger off a simcha shebelev, nevertheless it's excluded in the case of an oval under a different halacha, Isurei Avel b'Torahs Atzma. Again, I'm going way beyond what the Rav said, but I think it's the only way to reconcile the Rav's chiddush, his yisod, with everything that we saw. Even Dvarim Shebitzina is not because Dvarim Shebitzin is a Maisa Simcha. Yes, that's true. And that itself might prohibit Dvarim Shebitzin. But above and beyond that, Dvarim Shebitzin are prohibited to an Avil simply because he's an Avil. Shiva, counting a minion, a Malos, requires the Kiyum Shebelev. On Regel, there's no Kiyum Shebelev, and therefore there's no Malos. But the Gavra still has a shame Avil. And that shame Ovel in Gavra, according to the Ramban, Shulchan Aruch accepts the Ramban, generates an Isur of Dvarim Shebitzina. Because those Dvarim Shebitzina are not allowed to be the occupations of an Ovel simply because he's a Gavra Ha'ov. Irrelevant to, and not connected to the Kiyum Shebelev. So even if Avelus doesn't have a Kiyum Shebelev, for example, when Avelus is undermined and bumped off by Simcha, nevertheless, I still retain the shame Ovel. I don't have the Kiyum Shebelev, but I have the Isur. Remember how we started the whole Shia tonight. What is Avelus? Is it a Los Aseh or is it an Aseh? And now we're suggesting that there are two dimensions to Avelus. On the one hand, Avelus is a Los Aseh, and those are separate independent Isurim that apply to an Ovel insofar as he's an Ovel. And then there's the Aseh, where the Isurei Ovel are geared to generate, to facilitate the Kiyum Shebelev. So even if the second dimension doesn't apply, then at least with regard to some Isurim that we can isolate and enumerate, there is an Isur Avel, B'Torahs Isur Avel. without a kiyum shebelev.
So why wouldn't we say that they apply even before Hesya then? That the Nihugi Avela should apply even before Hesya, just you shouldn't have the kiyum shebelev.
Well,
why do we make the distinction between the tzinah?
Well, no, I think that dvarim shebetzinah is just a phrase. It's a catchphrase. Again, what the connection is to the fact that it's tzinah, I don't know. You know, that needs study. But dvarim shebetzinah means those isurim that could apply as a maisa avera generated by the shame of. That's what dvarim shebetzinah means. Is memela, I would suggest the following, that Rav Yossi Shitin Erison is that Erison is a separate iser of. As we said before, Erison doesn't entail any Simcha Shebelev. It's not antithetical to the Kiyum Shebelev of Avelus. And yet, it's prohibited to an Avel, according to Rabbi Yossi, insofar as Avelus and Kiddushin have to be excluded. If what I say is correct, then we're ready for my punchline. The punchline of the Shia tonight. Ba'medvar Mamur, everything that we said, that there are two dimensions to Avelus, is with regard to what the Chazal call Avelus Chadosha, Avelus on one of the seven Krovim. But with regard to Avelus Yeshana, Avelus for Churban, there's only one dimension, one aspect to the mitzvah of Avelus, and that is the Kiyum Shebelev. The entire matrix, the entire structure of Hilchas Tisha B'Av and the 3 weeks and the 9 days is all geared towards one and only one achievement, and that is the Kiyum Shebelev of Avelus. Is Memela, take a look at the Rambam, number Chavav on your page, Hilchas Tainius. Do you see what he says? Mishi Yikanes Av Mematin B'Simcha. And basically, Miyut Simcha is parallel to Yud Beis Chodesh Halav V'Alimo. But if you look at the Rambam Hilchas Avelus, he has distinct and well-defined Isurim that apply during Yud Beis Chodesh. Here, it's Mematim B'Simcha. What is it? Take a look, for example, at the Rambam with regard to Talmud Torah. In Hilchas Tainius number Chav Dalet on your page, says the Rambam, Eino Kore El B'Iov U'Bekinos U'Dvar Marom Shebi'Yirmiyah. In Hilchas Avelus, he didn't make that qualification. He completely omitted it, implying that the Issur Talmud Torah to an Avel is all-inclusive. But here, with regard to Tisha B'Av, he allows you to study these categories. The answer is because whereas Talmud Torah is antithetical to the Shem Avel in Gavra, with regard to Avelus Chadosha, but in Avelus Yeshana, there's nothing but a Kiyum Shebelev. And therefore, there's no Issur Talmud Torah b'fnei atzma. There's no Shem Avel. There's just a Kiyum Shebelev. All the Nihugi Avelus of Avelus Yeshana are geared towards bringing us, facilitating the Kiyum Avelus Shebelev. If this be the case, then perhaps Erison would be permitted on Tisha B'Av. Perhaps Tefillin would be permitted on Tisha B'Av. And in fact, the halacha is that you're allowed to marry a woman on Tisha B'Av. I'm not saying I recommend it. I could think of a better occasion.
A cheap meal.
That's right. You don't have to give a meal. But anyway, in Erison, there is no meal. So, right? So if you take a look in Tosis and Yevamos and Chav Aleph, Tosis says the name of Megillah Starim, Mutar Liyares Isha Filu B'Tisha B'Av. Erison is Mutar even on Tisha B'Av itself. How could it be? Maybe this is going like Chacham of Rabbi Yossi, but I don't think you have to say that. All you have to say is that Rabbi Yossi is talking about one kind of Avelus that has Isurei Avel, whereas the Avelus of Tisha B'Av has no Isurei Avel, just that the Isurei Avel are meant to facilitate the Kiyum Shebelev. To the extent that the Isurei Avel does not undermine the Kiyum Shebelev of Avelus, those Isurei Avel don't apply. They have no independent meaning. And therefore we wear tefillin on Tisha B'Av. Fascinating is that the Rambam has one minhag that we don't wear tefillin shel rosh on Tisha B'Av. Where is that? This is Chav Dalet, Hilchas Tanius Perkei Halacha Yud Aleph, who mixes Chachamim Noachim Shelo Laniach Bo Tefillin Berosh.
Is that because that's more of the
Farhesia? I don't think the Farhesia. I would say that tefillin shel berosh is a simcha. The ro ame aretz ki shem Hashem nikrolav. So the Gemara says in Brachas that elu tefillin shel barash. Tefillin shel barash has a special kiyum simcha to it, and that kiyum simcha will derail you from the avelu shevaleh. According to that mitzvah chacham, I never seen that minig in my life. But
isn't the reason why it's simcha is because other people will see it, because that's what the pshad is supposed to be covered up. Like,
no, you're right, Neil. But again, I you may have your own shtickle Torah, and if you want to go your own way, that's okay. I just want to finish up my shtickle Torah. So, if you're following my reasoning, I don't know if you've been with me the whole step. What I'm trying to suggest is that the Easter of Tefillin and Avelus is a twofold story. It's a duality. Not duality, there's no such word, is there? Dualism, whatever the word is. Anyway, on the one hand, Tefillin generates a certain experience of Simcha. On the other hand, Tefillin is exclusive of an Avel. It's mutually exclusive. The pair of Tefillin cannot be reconciled with Avelus. So I'm suggesting the following, that even if I would drop the first reasoning of Simcha, then in the case of Avelus, I still have the second reason. So, for example, if a person buries his dead, Rachmana Litzlan, on Yontif, on Chol HaMoed, then when he gets back, he might be enjoined from wearing tefillin simply because of the shame Avel. Even though that Avelus doesn't express itself in any Kiyum Shebaleiv, on the contrary, the Torah requires him to be in a state of Simcha. But in the case of Tisha B'Av, if I assume that the Iser Avelus of Tefillin is an Iser Avel B'Taras Atzmo, not because it'll lead to Simcha Shevalev, then if it's an Iser B'Taras Atzmo, it has no place, it has no relevance to Tefillin, to Avelus Yishana, because Avelus Yishana is purely Kim Shevalev. If this be the case, Rabbi Osei, let me ask you a question. Is there a limit to Avelus? Is there a point in which the halacha says, ad kan, don't go beyond? Another question. Is Avelus subjective, or is it objective? Can I create my own, what we call in modern Hebrew, tfusim, meaning structures, or expressions of Avelus? The halacha, as a general rule, is very, very objective, and recoils to subjective religion. Subjectivity belongs to other religions, not to ours. We have the halacha that sets up objective standards. Beyond that, it's valtosif. You can't create your own religion. You're bound by the halachic strictures. But yet, I find something very fascinating with regard to Avelus Yishana, Avelus on Churban. You saw in number Chavav, Mishenichnas Adam Memat Av Mematim B'Simcha. Or if you take a look at the Gemara in Yevamos in Chavhei, Ha'am Mematim Yiskeya Milisa V'Litein. It's all Ha'am. It's a spontaneous expression of how the people in a certain place at a certain time expressed Avelus. And not only that, the Gemara Bava Kamma is very fascinating. It tells a story about Eliezer Ze'ira. Eliezer Ze'ira wore black from head to toe. Apparently the custom at that time was to wear black, but some white. Maybe white shoes, maybe white shoelaces. He wore black, black, and black. So the Gemara says, who's this guy who thinks that he's more frum than the Pope? Who thinks he can prava avelus beyond what's customary? He's chashed on Yura. Do you guys know what Yura is? Yura doesn't mean when you create a religion of your own. I mean, that's just stam shtus. Yura means when there's a structure in which you try to go beyond the structure, and it's not indicative of where you're holding, of what's really truly you inside. It's not tocho kibar. The Gemara says they checked him out, and they found out that he was a gavarab. He was not violating Yura or displaying Yura. He was sincere. He was true. For him to wear total black is a cue of Avelus Shebalev for the Churban Abayis. For you and I, it would not be acceptable. It would be Yura. The Rama writes in Hilchas Tainis regarding Erev Tisha B'Av. He tells you exactly what you're allowed to eat and so forth. Then he says, Zui Midas Koham. Amal Chasidim Arishonim. Do we have any Chasidim here? but not chassidim rishon. It's before chassidim. Kach hoysa midosam. Erev Tisha B'Av hoyu mevim lo liadam levado pascha reva b'melach. All he's eating is one hardened piece of bread, dipped in salt. Shorev amayim, he soaks it in water. V'yoshev bein tanur v'kirayim v'ochlo v'shosel of kiton shomayim b'dago b'shmaman u'b'chia.
I don't understand. Tell me objectively what the halacha requires. How do I observe Erev Tisha B'Av? No, you're telling me there's another midah, go beyond, there's Eliezer Zaira, there's a Chassidim Rishonim. And the Rami Hilchas Avel, regarding one of the Zayin Krovim, Avel Chadosha, says, Al Yizkasha Odom Al Meso Yosef Midai. There's a limit. Bechia. 3 days, 7 days. There's avails for a month, there's avails for a year, but that's it. And here, with regard to avails yeshana, the structure is very subjective, depends on where you're holding. There doesn't seem to be any limit. You can go beyond and exceed the boundaries, because when it comes to avails yeshana, the mitzvah is kiyum shebelev. And when the mitzvah is kiyum shebelev, the externalities are only means or methods. When it's avails chadasha, it's structured. It's got a beginning and an end. It's limited, it's well defined. But an Avelus Yeshana, which is purely Kiyum Shabalev, the individual plays a role. It's a subjective expression. There are different levels. And you can go beyond and beyond. And the Rambam never says, Al Yisabil Al Amigdosh Yoser Midai, like he says in Hilchas Avelus. Yehiratza may be his will, that we should be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Avelus. And through the Mitzvah of Avelus, through the experience of the Kiyum Shebelev, through a deeper and deeper appreciation of the Beis Hamikdash and what it was, of Yisrael Alad Masa, of Atavachar Toru Mikol Ha'am, of that rendezvous of the Moed with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should each be Zoche to be Mekayim, not only Avelus, but Amir Tzeshem, the Simcha, of Liros B'Binyona, to really see the reality of what we dream about now, and what we appreciate in one level of our brain. But to see Bias, Goel, the building, the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash, B'Tif Arto, that second Bias, which will now become the third Bias, with all the Nisim and the flows of the first Bias, the close relation to Shekhinah should be a true Karalai Moed, a Moed Mibchinas rendezvous with the Shekhinah, B'Meir V'Yomenu, Amen.
Amen.